Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello, and welcome to this Friday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. It's February the 2nd, and I'm thrilled that you're with us. We have been in a series all week long, a transforming series, a series in which images have been painted of who we are and what we're called to be. Derek's been teaching us about seven pictures of God's people, and they've been images from Scripture that we should carry in our heads and that define who we are. He taught us about being part of an assembly. He taught us about being part of the body of Christ, an image we so desperately need because we're so individualistic in this generation. He taught us about being God's workmanship, God's creative poem, so to speak, his masterpiece. He taught us about being the family, the temple, and the bride. Now today, he's going to talk to us about being God's army. And boy, this is an emphasis that we need in our generation. We've tended to shy away from it because we don't like things like discipline and rank and order and purpose. But being in God's army means that when we became born again, we joined in an army, not just joined, but were drawn into God's army for God's purposes to carry the victory of Calvary to every corner of the earth. This is going to be a powerful teaching today. I'm thrilled that you're with us. If you've missed any of this teaching, log on to the website at derekprince.org and be sure and listen to this program with a pen and a paper because then you can take notes and really get these truths into your life. Now let's listen as Derek teaches us about seven pictures of God's people.
In this series, we've been looking together into the mirror of God's Word to find out what kind of people we really are as God's redeemed people. The particular section of the mirror that we've been looking into has been Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. We've been discovering an amazing variety in what we've seen there. God's people have many different functions here on earth, and each different function presents a different aspect. This corresponds to what Paul himself says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. I've pointed out earlier that the church is designed to be the demonstration of God's manifold wisdom to the entire universe. I prefer to translate that word manifold, many-sided. So each different aspect of God's people presents a different aspect of God's wisdom. We need to be on our guard against focusing on any one aspect to the exclusion of the others. One main purpose of this series of talks is to show you how many aspects there are to God's people and how dangerous it is to become one track in our approach and only see one aspect of God's people, because we're going to be missing out on a great deal of what God has for us unless we can somehow fit ourselves in with all the purposes and functions and find our place in each one of the aspects that are presented here by Paul in this epistle to the Ephesians. So far, we've looked together at six specific pictures of God's people in Ephesians. They are as follows: the assembly, the body, the workmanship, the family, the temple, and the bride. Today, we're going to look at the seventh and last of these pictures in Ephesians. And this last picture is as great a contrast as it could possibly be to the previous picture. The sixth picture was the bride. What do you think the seventh picture is? Well, I'll tell you. It's the army. What two things could be less like one another than a bride and an army? For this final picture of the army, we turn to the final chapter of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. As in the case of the picture of the bride was not actually mentioned. So in this passage, the word army is not actually used, but the implication is absolutely beyond doubt. This is what Paul says to us as God's people in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. That's a fair warning that as believers, we're going to face warfare. There's going to come what Paul calls the evil day. There's going to come the day of affliction, of testing, of satanic pressures against us. And we've got to be prepared. So Paul says, put on the whole armor. What kind of person puts on armor? Obviously, the answer is a soldier. Indeed, the entire picture is very closely based on the Roman legionary and his armor in the time of Paul. So we are really compared, in a sense, to a Roman legion, the most effective military unit of the ancient world, one that actually conquered the known world for the Roman Empire. So we are involved in a war. We are God's army. You see, there's been a war between the forces of God and the forces of Satan throughout human history. But the coming of Jesus as Messiah, Savior, Deliverer, brought out into the open the war between these two opposing kingdoms. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 12, verses 25 through 28. Now, Jesus was being criticized by the Pharisees because of his ministry of casting out evil spirits. They accused him of being able to do it because he was in league with Beelzebub, which was one of the titles of Satan. This is Jesus' answer to them. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." It's that last verse I want to focus on. "But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Just before that, he's been speaking about the kingdom of Satan. He said that Satan's kingdom is not divided. He's implied that it's in total opposition to the kingdom of God. And now he speaks about his ministry of casting out evil spirits as the demonstration that the kingdom of God has come on the scene. So here we have what I call the clash of kingdoms, the visible, manifested clash between God's kingdom represented by Jesus and then by the church, and the kingdom of Satan represented by demons, and so on.
One of the things I love about God's Word is how honest and real it is, and Derek's teaching reflects this. The Bible tells us that we will have afflictions and testings and opportunities for offenses, and that's why we have to be geared up. That's why we have to be as though we're in the military and have on the perfect armor of God. That's the realism that God's Word gives us so that we can be prepared for the difficult day. There's so much more of this meaty teaching to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Great to have you with us here on this Friday edition of our program. We're listening to Derek teach us on this final day about seven pictures of God's people, and he's been teaching us about the seventh picture of a people who are an army. It's a powerful, transforming truth, and one that we definitely need today in our sort of age in which we need a bit more militarism. We need a bit more focus and discipline in the body of Christ. Let's listen as Derek teaches us about seven pictures of God's people.
Now we need to understand a little bit about the weapons and the battlefield of this conflict. And the best passage I know for that is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, where Paul says this: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Paul says we are in a war, but the war is not in the fleshly, the physical, the material realm. It's in the spiritual realm. And because the war is in the spiritual realm, we have the appropriate weapons, not carnal, physical, material weapons, not bombs or bullets or tanks, but spiritual weapons. And these weapons are capable, in dependence of God, of destroying Satan's fortresses. And then that fifth verse is very revealing. It brings out the battlefield. Paul says we're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take those three words: speculations, knowledge, and thought. They all relate to one particular realm, very obviously the realm of the mind. So the mind of humanity is the battlefield of this war. Satan has deceived humanity through their minds, has taken them captive, has built his fortresses of prejudice and unbelief and so on in their minds. Our assignment as God's people, as God's army, is to make war with the spiritual weapons that God has committed to us, break down Satan's strongholds in the minds of people, release them from Satan's captivity, and bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In closing my talk today, I just want to speak for a moment about the process, or the exchange, by which the bride becomes the army. This really appeals to me. It's so clearly set out in Scripture. It's almost a kind of special revelation. We find the process, or the change, in the Song of Songs, the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, two verses, 4 and 10. In the first case, the bridegroom is talking to his bride. Christ is talking to his church. And he describes the church as he, the bridegroom, sees her. "You are as beautiful as Tirzah, my darling, as lovely as Jerusalem, as awesome as an army with banners." See, that's a rather unexpected combination. The words "beautiful" are used, "lovely," the very affectionate word "darling," and then at the end, this beautiful person appears as an army with banners. That's somewhat different, isn't it? That's military. And then in the 10th verse, there's a kind of comment on the appearance of this bride in this characteristic. I suppose it's what we would call the chorus or the spectators that make this comment in Song of Songs, chapter 6, verse 10, referring to the bride, the church. "Who is this that appears like the dawn, as beautiful as the full moon, as pure as the sun, as awesome as an army with banners?" You see, that's the church. But the spectators, the world, are amazed to see the church appearing as an army. Notice the beauty of the picture. Appears like the dawn, rising after a night of darkness. As beautiful as the full moon. The moon, in a certain sense, particularly represents the church, because its function in the heavenly bodies is to reflect the sun, which represents Christ, as pure as the sun, with Christ's own purity and righteousness, and then awesome as an army with banners. So the bride appearing as the army is going to startle both Satan and the world. And you see the order. First, Christ sees his bride as an army. Then she also appears to the world that way. And that's why it's important that we see ourselves as Christ sees us, through looking in the mirror. Because when we begin to see ourselves that way, in faith, then the Holy Spirit transforms us into what we see. All right, now the twofold application. The essential feature, what's required of us. The essential feature, I think, of the army is clearly a demonstration of God's invincible power against all the forces of evil. What's required of us? The answer clearly is military discipline. This is something which I think Christians have got to give a great deal more heed to in the days that lie ahead. If we're ever going to be an army, we've got to submit to divine discipline. In this series, we've been looking together into the mirror of God's Word to find out what kind of people we really are as God's redeemed people. The particular section of the mirror that we've been looking into has been Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. We've been discovering an amazing variety in what we've seen there. God's people have many different functions here on earth, and each different function presents us under a different aspect. Today, I'm going to sum up these seven pictures and draw out the main practical lessons we can learn from them. First of all, I'll list the seven pictures once more in their correct order. Number one, the assembly. Number two, the body. Number three, the workmanship. Number four, the family. Number five, the temple. Number six, the bride. Number seven, the army. The first picture, the assembly. God's governmental body. The essential feature, I pointed out, was governmental authority. The church is God's representative body on earth through which, by spiritual power and authority, he rules the nations and brings his purposes to pass. The second picture, the body. And as the body of Christ, our function is to do the will of Christ in the earth. We're his agents to carry out his redemptive purposes. He's the head and we're the other members of the body. The third picture, the workmanship. I called it God's creative masterpiece. I pointed out that the essential feature was that it was the revelation to the universe of God's creative genius, to the principalities and powers in the heavenlies. Now by the church is being made known the manifest, the many-sided wisdom of God. It represents God's creative genius at its highest point. The fourth picture, the family. We are God's family because we all have one Father. Jesus is our elder brother, and we're all members of the same family. The fifth picture is the temple, God's dwelling place. The material of God's temple is not stones or wood or mortar. It's the most valuable thing in the universe, people, human beings, God's redeemed people. That's what God is building his dwelling place out of. And each one of us, Peter says, is a living stone. The sixth picture, the bride, the one to whom he's going to be united eternally at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What is the essential feature of that relationship between bridegroom and bride? I suggested it's mutual commitment, total self-giving. Jesus gave himself without reservation for the church. Now he asks the church to give herself without reservation to him. The seventh picture, the army, a demonstration of God's invincible power, pitted in relentless warfare against the spiritual kingdom of Satan, equipped with spiritual weapons that enable us to cast down Satan's strongholds, liberate his captive, and win this world for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In that army, what's required of us? I think the answer is clear, military discipline. All right, may I ask in closing that you meditate on these pictures, especially on what's required of us, and let the Holy Spirit transform you into what God wants to make you.
There's so much more wonderful material to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
For most Christians, prayer is, well, prayer. Just one kind, done basically one way. If it were music, it might sound like this. Nice, but what if there were more? What if there were different types of prayer for different needs, seasons, and reasons? With the Holy Spirit orchestrating praying people to bring God's marvelous plans and purposes to pass, it would sound like this. In his eye-opening CD, The Prayer Orchestra, Derek Prince reveals 12 distinct types of prayer and explains how each prayer instrument is designed to accomplish a specific purpose in your life and in his kingdom. Best of all, this classic teaching is free for the asking when you call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Don't settle for a week, one-note prayer life. Order your free CD, God's Prayer Orchestra, and play your part in all God wants to do in you and through you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely online when you visit us at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us on this final section of our Friday show. We've been listening to a marvelous teaching called Seven Pictures of God's People. I hope you've heard all of it. If you didn't, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org and you'll be able to hear all of that teaching. Now, with me in the studio is one of the producers of this show and also one of my good friends, David Holland. Dave, great to have you with
us. Hi, Stephen. You're right. Really good stuff this week, but I wanted to stop by and let you and everyone know that next week is going to be, and the following for that matter, are going to be very, very special weeks of radio here on Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Now, we're going to be doing this from time to time. We'll bring in some guests, I think is what you're going to be telling us about. We're going to be trying to apply and help people to digest the teaching of Derek Prince. Isn't that what it's all about next week?
Well, that's exactly right. First of all, the topic Derek will be addressing next week is the subject of hope. Derek has a powerful revelation about hope and the role of hope in the life of a believer. And he'll be bringing some really, really powerful insights where that's concerned. And to reinforce that message, we're going to be hearing some amazing testimonies from people. And nothing instills hope in the heart of folks like you and me than seeing and hearing testimonies of God's working on behalf of people.
You know, Derek's best teachings come out of his own experience. And if there was anybody who was living without hope before he met Jesus, it was Derek Prince. I mean, he was depressed. He wrote poems about having a winter in his soul. He was near suicide. He was drinking far too much. And he talked constantly about the hopelessness and the sense that life had no meaning. So I'm eager to hear that teaching just to see how he develops that on the other side of his experience with Jesus.
Well, that's exactly right. It's really, really strong stuff the next week and the next few weeks. So we want to encourage everyone to tune in. And while I'm here, I also would like to remind everyone that we have a very special free gift available to anyone who wants to click or call and request it. It's that very special Derek audio teaching called The Prayer Orchestra. It's really, really good stuff and will help people understand how to flow in the different types of prayer, how not to be disharmonious in prayer, how to flow with the Holy Spirit in their praying. It's good stuff, and all people have to do is write or call or click and let us know they want to receive it.
That's great. Dave, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. If you've missed any of this series this week, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org. Be sure to be with us Monday when this fantastic new series on hope begins. But for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again next week on Monday as the legacy continues.
Take a few moments to order your free CD of Derek's insightful audio message, The Prayer Orchestra. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and this special CD are both free. It's our way of saying thank you for your support of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.